Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Direction this week. I wanted to get away from the book, but at the same time, I wanted to give you something engaging. So, I'm going to move away from the book, but the intended conversation that I initially had, I'm going to step away from that as well, and primarily because my guest had to reschedule, and we're going to get this conversation going hopefully next weekend. So if you was interested in the conversation on IEPs and 504s, then you're going to have to tune in next weekend, because that's when we're going to bring that conversation to the table. But what I want to talk about today, what's the conversation of today? Like I said, I'm going to step away from the book, but I want to talk about something that should be as equally important to you as it is to me. I want to talk about this conversation about the transfer portal, but even more so, why is this thing starting to go in a different direction? Why is there going to be some ruling soon on whether or not our kids are able to play right away, or will they continue to sit out and have to wait a year before they're eligible to play if they transfer to another program? But, you know, before I even do all that, I always like to throw my man, Mr. Keith, right in there. And Keith always got something that he brings home with me, because Keith understands the importance of making smart cool. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm my diploma out the pen. Let them hate then, playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Keith said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. I got to go back to that each and every time I get a chance, because I think that those are some valuable words for an athlete to echo, for an athlete to allow to just come out of him, he's making smart cool, because he understands the situation that he's in. He understands that. And he's made the connections to do what? Grow in life. So at the end of the day, he's making smart, cool, and he's moving on with his thing. So, hey, like I said, kudos to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, because that conversation forever and a day is a conversation that that can go very, very, very far. You know, I was saying that I want to talk about this transfer situation. And this transfer situation is something of really interesting, of interest. And I say that because, you know, many times, and I just recently had this conversation with somebody, and they may even call in this evening or this afternoon. And if they do, we're going to continue the conversation. But in having this conversation, I looked at it from the standpoint of coaches are able to do whatever they want to do. They can leave one school chasing the dollar, go to another school, coach another program, and won't miss a beat. But we had kids in the situation of they would go to another school, and the next thing you know, somebody saying that, oh, well, they can't play because they got to sit out a year. Well, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. And in saying that, I think really and truly, if the coaches are authorized to do it and able to do it, then why shouldn't our children do it? You know, realistically, why would the coaches even have skin in the game once that athlete leaves his program? Why? Why is it that coaches believe that, you know, they can still have influence over that child's success? Come on now. You know, enough is that kids are already shortchanged and don't get full support and, you know, all these other issues. But this issue is on top of being able to leave, go to another institution, and do what? Continue to play. Continue to play as if they didn't miss a beat. But here's the problem, here's the concern, here's the issues, here's the whole works. When a kid is authorized to go to another school, and I say authorized because, you know, at some point in time, coaches had to approve that kid even having the authority to transfer, which again, me, here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Because if my child is not comfortable at that school or things are not in the best interest of my child at that school and he or she wants to transfer, why shouldn't they be able to transfer? Why is it that, you know, they have to be held hostage and they can't transfer because what? Because of the simple fact that hold on a second, what just happened? You know, why is it that they're able to transfer? Because the coach feels as though what? That kid is going to go to another school and now expose their program? And at one point in time, they not only wasn't able to transfer, well, they was able to transfer, they had to sit out. But you had the requirement that they can't even transfer within the conference. They had to go to another conference if they decided to transfer. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work out with this new ruling. And this new ruling is right around the corner. So we should be hearing more about it as time goes on. But with that being said, look at the number of doors that are now going to be open. You know, there's also some few issues where high school students, you may want to think about that as well, because of the simple fact that if I can pick up a kid from another institution, I'm thinking like as a coach right now, if I could pick up a kid from another institution and at that other institution, he's coming in and he or she is able to play right away, then why wouldn't I lean towards allowing that kid to come? If I can pick up a kid that's already been competing at the college level, coming from a JUCO, coming from another institution, whatever, and I ain't got to worry about that child having to sit out, I can pick him up, bring him in, get him or her on my roster, and now we rocking and rolling as if, hey, we didn't miss a beat. Now, if that's the case, then what? Why am I going to waste time, or why am I going to have to worry about getting a high school student in where that high school student is going to take some time to adjust? At least if I'm bringing in a student that's been in the college game for a minute, then he or she is ready to rock and roll with me. Especially if we're talking about, I'm just like that one piece away, that one athlete away from turning the corner to do what? To just simply say, hey, we're going to make it to the big dance this year. So with that being said, I'm that one athlete away. So now I'm going to reach out to that athlete to join my program. And in joining my program, now we got that extra piece. We got an athlete that just came in that's mature. We got an athlete that has been playing at the college level for at least the last year or maybe two. So now he's transferred over to my program. High school athletes, beware. Beware, because you may be one that may hit that chopping block and it may not work out for your best interest. So your game is going to have to be at its highest peak, highest level, when you get ready to go for coming out of your senior year. Going to have to be. Have to be. Because at the Division I program, if they decide to do away with athletes having to sit out, then college coaches have the ability to pull from wherever. Have the ability to pull from wherever, knowing that whoever they bring in will be able to play right away. Is that a good thing, bad thing, or what? Hey, join the conversation today. You can always reach us at 516-453-9932. Let me hit that one more time. 516-453-9932. Hey, when you get there, you know, you hit option one, that'll let us know that you're in the queue, and we'll bring you on the air so you can share your insight on what you think about this conversation of athletes being able to play right away if they transfer from one institution to another institution. Now, think about this. This is not just football. This is not just basketball. It is across the Division I spectrum. So on that note, folks, you got to have your athletes ready, because high school athletes may take the biggest hit here as far as them being ready and them being prepared. And they have worked so hard to get to where they want to go, and now having to basically get to an institution and not feel wanted, or get to an institution and have to sit out because what? Hey, I think I got a caller on the line. Let's find out where our caller is from and what our caller want to add to this conversation. Good afternoon, caller. Where you calling from?
Hi, it's Annette. I'm calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yes, ma'am.
you know, Mike, thanks for inviting me in on the conversation, because I have, you know, experience in how that D1 scholarship process goes, because I had a daughter and a son that played on basketball D1 scholarship. And personally, I think children that come into the program sometimes don't know what they want when they come in, and they come in and they may not have the experience that they thought they were going to have. So I think the transfer portal process can work if it's managed properly. And I do think there should be some guidelines as far as playing within a conference versus outside a conference, because I don't think that coaches can manage recruiting players for a school in their conference, and then next week or next year the student transfers into the same conference to another school, and now we're competing against the kid that I recruited originally. So I think there just needs to be some type of guidelines as far as how they manage that, because, you know, children are children, and they change their mind, and what they thought was one thing may not necessarily be what it is, and the opportunity to move on with their careers should be available to them. And I support it, but I think there just needs to be guidelines, because coaches really work hard to sign recruits. And once they get in, they spend time developing their skills, managing them, making sure that they understand the game at a college level. And so there just needs to be some guidelines in place, in my opinion. If there are guidelines in place, then I think the process can work. It'll make the coaching job a little bit harder. But, you know, that's my opinion.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't have a whole lot of compassion for coaches, but that's a whole nother story. that's just me. But, you know, in saying that, you know, now, if I'm a coach and I had a athlete that wanted to transfer to another program, okay, once you are out of my program, that should be no longer my concern where you go. Whether or not
it's
you go to
always a concern about where the child goes.
Well,
I think it has to be a concern. Hold on.
If you go to another program within my conference, I should have no problem with that. If you go to another program outside my conference, I should have no problem with that. Because one thing I
You're
do know...
Yeah,
okay, what, no, but one
okay,
thing I do
ahead.
Know, if I recruited you, I know your game. So if you go to another program within my conference, and you've only been with me for about a year or so, if that long, and then all of a sudden now you want to go somewhere else, I know your game. I know your strengths and weaknesses. You know, the scouting report on you is going to be like somebody reading their own name, because I know that much about you. That's where a real coach should look at that as being to their advantage and not to their disadvantage. But, you know, okay, let's take it out of context of out of the consideration, excuse me, of the athlete wanting to go to a school within the conference. What about a school outside of the conference? Should that coach have anything to say about that?
I think if a child is going to transfer, the outside of the conference takes away the conflict of interest, because it is a conflict of interest. If I transfer into a conference, the same conference that I'm currently in, and I have friends at this previous program, when I play against my friends, I'm going to play different. I'm going to think different. I'm going to react different. It may affect my game, actually. So the way you take away that conflict of interest is by saying, you can play me, but it's got to be at an NCAA level, and it's got to be, if we play each other not on a regular basis in the conference, we play each other outside the conference. So I personally think that because of that, conference does need to be considered, because I don't want to play my girlfriend down the street that I just was friends with yesterday because I transferred and made that transfer decision. I don't want to have to manage through all those emotions, because now I have a whole other layer of emotions that I've added to the game. I take that away if I make the conference a requirement, because I'm not going to play against my girlfriend down the street. I'm going to wish her the best of luck and say, go have a good game, go do you. We're not playing each other. We can still maintain a professional relationship and move, because you are talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds. A lot of times the emotional part is huge.
Yeah, but for the most part, and if we're looking at it from just a basketball perspective, that has already happened. They grew up playing against each other, you know, in high school. They grew up playing against each other in different leagues prior to getting to college. You know, or they may have been on the same team. But at some point in time, they compete against each other like thick and thin. And at the end of the game, they're able to walk off the court, shake hands, still be friends, and keep on moving. You see that done at the professional level all the time. All the time.
You do, but
as many of them young men and young ladies are friends, they're able to walk off the court at the end of the day, shake hands, and still be friends. And matter of fact, may even call each other and talk to each other right after the game or on their way home, talking about another situation.
You see that at a professional level. You see that at a professional level more than you do a college level. A college level, I don't know. I guess I think you see it more at a professional level than you do a college level. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's my opinion about them being in conference versus out of conference. You know, so what I see in college a lot of times, if two players are good friends, they sign up with the same team so they can play together. I don't see them signing up in a lot of cases to say, I just want to play against you, so there you go. If it happens to be that way and works out that way, they take scholarships at opposite schools and they play against each other. That's a different scenario, because that was a choice you made. That was a conscious choice that you made, right? But I don't know. I mean, I think it could go either way. I think that I have not had any experiences with players transferring within the conference and playing against each other to be able to see if that really has an effect on the game or not. I think that you would have to let that happen and take a look and see how it affects the players before you can really actually make a really, really definitive decision about whether that really had an effect. It may and it may not. We might be just talking hypothetically about something that doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that's what I honestly believe. It's something that really doesn't matter, because the athletes of today are not emotionally driven like that. I take my own son. I watched him during high school, recreational league time, and the whole works play with this one young man that they played on different high school teams. But every team outside of high school, they played together. They were normally on the same team. They hit the floor at the same time. You know, when coaches are subbing, they normally either sub both of them in at the same time, or, you know, both of them out at the same time, or whatever the case was. And even when they traveled, they stayed connected to this day. But when it comes time for them to get out there on the court and play, because they went to two different colleges, and when it came time for them to get out there and play, they knew it was time to compete. You know, they actually had fun competing against each other, because they were looking at, okay, who can do this, who can do that, you know, what my numbers are going to be like at the end of the day. Okay, you need to step up your game. You know, I'm shooting this three. Can you take it out here? And the whole work. So they actually enjoyed that level of competition because they knew it was clean, hard, and realistic competition. It wasn't no motive behind it. It wasn't no animosity in the game. It wasn't no, well, he ain't going to get the best of me. Nah, it was all about them two friends playing against each other. And at the end of the day, they getting back to their dorms and texting each other, talking about the game or talking about something that they seen in the game. So I don't think that's going to be a real issue. But, you know, hey, if it happens, it happens. If they say that they can play within the conference, okay, fine. If they say that they can't, okay, fine as well. But I don't think that colleges, coaches, should have any say-so whatsoever after the child decides to leave that college. You know, that's too much control over somebody. You're going to control my life to tell me where I can and can't go? So if I want to all of a sudden go to a college like Stanford, or I want to go to Penn, if I want to go to Harvard, and that just so happened to be a school that you play against on a regular basis on your schedule, I can't go there? I can't add to my game and add to my education because you won't let me go there? No, you don't have no say-so. You don't have no say-so. And that's just my thoughts on that issue. But I understand your point and where you come from, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts on this afternoon.
Are you welcome. Anytime.
Yes, ma'am. All right, continue to listen. We're going to continue this conversation. But, you know, folks, and in thinking about that, you know, where does this put our high school kids? Where does it put our high school child athletes? You know, that puts them in a very, very, very strange situation. Because, you know, ones that are thinking, okay, well, hey, I can get here, I can get to this school, and, you know, what most of them say when they're on a recruiting visit? They ask that question, how soon can I get playing time? What do I need to do to get playing time? Everybody wants to know about playing time. And if I can get you into the school because I'm telling you, you're going to get playing time right away. It all depends on how hard you work. But then I turn around and I see a kid coming from another school that's ready to get away from that school that mysteriously, and it always happens mysteriously, unknowingly, somebody done reached out to this kid, or one of his friends on the team reached out to a kid that want to transfer from his school and come over with us. And so now you got that type of recruiting going on. Come on, man, let's do it like we did in high school. We can take this thing all the way to the chip. Okay, now you got that going on, or you got a booster, or you got an alumni that, you know, just so happened to know this kid and reaches out to this kid. Yes, there's going to have to be some guidelines. There's going to have to be some heavy requirements. And the NCAA is really going to have to step up on how they monitor this. Because if they don't step up on how they monitor this, this is going to be like the Wild Wild West. As I heard this morning on a show called The Sports Edge with a friend of mine called Rick Wolf out of New York, WFAN. Hey, that's basically the same words he echoed. This is going to be, I'm echoing his words, this is going to be the Wild Wild West, because it's going to be stuff happening all over the place, you know, and it's going to be out of control. Now, as we think about that, let's look at it from another perspective. You have a situation where a young football player coming out of high school worked hard, had a good season, and now He's being recruited by a school. Okay, he's a running back. He's about 5'10", 5'11". He runs probably right at a 4'5", 4'6", in the 40. Really strong player. Good at what he do. Had a phenomenal season. Coach has been looking at him. But now all of a sudden, they get a kid that want to transfer, an athlete that want to transfer. He's a running back. He's about 5'10", 5'11". He runs a solid 4'6". He's had a fairly decent season, but he's capable of putting up numbers at the college level. He's already been proven in the college environment that he's capable of putting up numbers. But just so happened, he wants to get away from the school that he's at, and he wants to transfer. High school athlete, look out. Look out, because that's going to be the type of stuff that you're going to be faced with. How do you survive something like that? You know, because what's going to happen, they'll probably bring you in and probably throw you in the red shirt column and tell you that, okay, we're going to build you up. We're going to let you put on a little bit more muscle mass or whatever. Because if you're not going in there already as a man child, then you may be in trouble. Because you know they throw you, the minute they throw you in the red shirt tank, that the next go round, they're already looking to recruit somebody else to come in and fill that gap. And that next person up, next man up, may be the one that's going to replace you. So you may have wasted an entire year at that institution because, one, first you got sidetracked by another player coming into a Division I program coming from somewhere else, or a player that has spent 1 year at a JUCO and now wants to come in and play at the Division I program, and he matches everything that you do. But knowing that on the next go-round, coach is looking at filling up that gap anyway, because if he finds a kid that's a solid 5'11", that's a solid 4'4 in the 40, that also had a good season. Remember what I said, you're 5'10", 5'11"-ish, maybe. You ran about a 4'5", 4'6". You had a great year. But the next time that the coach goes out to recruit for that upcoming year, you're in the redshirt pool. Is he going to look to fill your gap? Or is he going to wait for you to come out the pool and say, we're going to work with you, we're going to go with you? Then you're going to be ready to transfer because you don't waste a year. So how do you prepare for that? You got to start preparing now. You got to dot every I and cross every T. You know, when they talk about being on your grind and putting in that extra work, you have to really and truly be serious about what you're doing, because this game is becoming extremely serious. The sad part about this, and I thought about this earlier, remember a few weeks ago I talked about this new elite basketball league or whatever they're calling it. I can't even remember the name of it. So if you got an athlete that may not get to a college and may not get that playing time, because all of a sudden the college coach decided to go with a transfer. So is it your mindset to try to run and play somewhere else? Because although they talked about this elite league, and this elite league supposedly is only going to pick up approximately 30 players. Oh, trust and believe, somebody will mimic that and double their numbers. Someone will figure out how to mimic it and double their numbers. Folks, if you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. That's what we have to worry about, folks. Those are some of the things that we have to worry about, because this stuff is real. This stuff is real. You know, and slowly but surely, and listening to the last conversation I was able to listen to in reference to the Knight Commission, they're strongly recommending that the NCAA imposed some serious guidelines and requirements for the third-party organizations. What do I mean by third-party organizations? If you're not in the scholastic group, or if you're not in the intercollegiate group, you are a third-party. Elite, EYBL, AAU, whatever they call themselves today, these 707 programs that pop up all over the country, these showcase baseball situations, those are third-party organizations. And the Knight Commission is strongly against these third-party organizations continuing to operate in the manner in which they do, because they are not governed by anybody. So as a result, they can go out here and hold tournaments as they have done during this pandemic. I'm looking at a high school team in the local area. They're about to start their season. They're about to start their high school basketball season. They're calling it the winter season that they're going to have in the spring. And how is that so? Well, they played the season back in December. They played a fall league. Then they played another league in the winter. They played it at one of these third-party facilities and had a full-blown league going on. Now, if they had a full-blown league going on, of course, you know, they claimed that they had the COVID restrictions in place and, you know, their guidelines, they were following the guidelines, the CDC guidelines and all that. Really? You were doing all that? No, you wasn't. Because I'd be willing to bet them kids didn't get tested but once. And you probably had about a 6 to 7 game season, if not more. They probably didn't get tested but once. If that, they probably had to show a negative result, and now they're on the team. And now when they showed up at practice, you did the old foolish thing of the temperature check, which means absolutely nothing. I've known several people that have had COVID and never broke a temperature. So help me understand, what's the purpose of the temperature check? I watched somebody the other day. They had a group of people standing in line outside waiting to get into a building. And so the young lady came outside and she did a temperature check. Now, if I'm standing outside in the sun, why are you coming outside doing a temperature check and I'm standing out here in the sun? Of course, my head's going to be a little hot, especially if it's a nice warm day. See, those type of things are things that say we have to be involved in this recruiting process. We have to be involved in our kids involved in sports. Not just the recruiting process. I'm talking about our kids involved in sports overall. How many of you went out over the last few months or so and attended some of these sporting events. Or they told you, well, your kids can play, but only one of you can come in and watch the game. Your husband and wife shows up at the game, but only one of you can come in and watch the game. Only so many people are allowed in the gym. But yet and still, our children are out there playing. They're out there playing with no mask on. I drove by a field yesterday, and there was a 7-on-7 league going on. I didn't see nan mask on nan face. Yes, I said nan. No one was wearing a mask. So at what point in time do we as parents step up and say enough is enough? Join the conversation today at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Folks, hey, you know, that's just what I see. And it's up to us as parents to be vocal to address these issues. You know, today we were supposed to talk about IEPs and 504s. And that's going to be an extremely interesting conversation. Parents, you're going to need to have your notepads when we get into that conversation, because of the simple fact that that's something that affects our children all the time, and we don't know what we need to do in order to be supportive of them being involved in that type of situation, having a plan, a 504 or an IEP. Now, somebody may say, well, what's a 504? What's an IEP? If your child has one, you know what I'm talking about. If your child has one, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because you had to go sit in the meeting. You had to meet with the teachers. You had to meet with the counselors. You had to meet with, you know, someone from administration to talk about your child's plan. So, but I'm going to step away for a hot second, step away, and we're going to come back and probably prepare to wind this thing down, you know. And, hey, I want you to check out our jingle. I want you to check out this little bit of a phone call that I received during the time that Mike was going through the recruiting process, and we'll be right back.
With the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call at your...
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBA. We are playing phone tag.
If it's okay.
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left.
Hey, Mike, this is John Belant, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here. So I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake, Joe Qualin. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your facts.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about it. I was actually just...
Mr. Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just wanted to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand.
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
This is Coach Gene. I have just gotten some disturbing news from some of the coaches that have been involved with trying to convince.
Yes, Mr. Scott, this is Sidney Lowe from NC State University. Just wanted to touch base with you, sir, and get an opportunity to speak with you at your convenience. Happy.
Mr. Scott.
The game had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.